In the long, brazen sunset light, beneath dusky cloud banks brooding storm, he strode up the hill slope with a sense of day's work done. Across his back, two woven baskets balanced each other, one laden with the pungent black fruit of the thorn tree, and one with cable-thick creepers to be used as rope. The axe on his shoulder caught the waning sunlight and tossed it blindingly back. It had not been hard labor, but weariness dragged at his mind, and he did not relish the household chores yet to be performed, cooking and cleaning and all the rest. Why couldn't they hurry up and get him some helpers? His eyes sought the sky resentfully. Moon 5 was hidden. Down here, at the bottom of the air ocean, you saw nothing but the sun and the four Galilean satellites. He wasn't even sure where 5 was just now in relation to himself.
Oh, wait a minute. It's sunset here. But if I went out to the view dome, I'd see Jupiter in the last quarter. Or would I? Oh, hell, it only takes us half an Earth day to swing around the planet anyway.
Joe shook his head. After all this time, it was still damnably hard now and then to keep his thoughts straight.
I, the essential I, am up in heaven riding Jupiter 5 between cold stars. Remember that. Open your eyes, if you will, and see the dead control room superimposed on a living hillside.
He didn't, though. Instead, he regarded the boulders strewn wind-blasted gray over the tough mossy vegetation of the slope. They were not much like Earth rocks, nor was the soil beneath his feet like terrestrial humus. For a moment, Anglesey speculated on the origin of the silicates, aluminates, and all the other stony compounds. Theoretically, all such materials should be inaccessibly locked in the Jovian core, down where the pressures got vast enough for atoms to buckle and collapse. Above the core should lie thousands of miles of allotropic ice, and then the metallic hydrogen layer. There should not be complex minerals this far up, but there were. Well, possibly Jupiter had formed according to theory, but had thereafter sucked enough cosmic dust, meteors, gases, and vapors down its great throat of gravitation to form a crust several miles thick. Or more likely, the theory was altogether wrong. What did they know? What could they know, the soft, pale worms of Earth? Anglesey stuck his, Joe's, fingers in his mouth and whistled. A baying sounded in the brush, and two midnight forms leaped toward him. He grinned and stroked their heads. Training was progressing faster than he hoped with these pups of the black caterpillar beasts he had taken. They'd make guardians for him, herders, servants. On the crest of the hill, Joe was building himself a home. He had logged off an acre of ground and erected a stockade. Within the grounds there now stood a lean-to for himself and his stores, a methane well and the beginnings of a large, comfortable cabin. But there was too much work for one being, even with the half-intelligent caterpillars to help and with cold storage for meat. Most of his time would still go hunting. The game wouldn't last forever, either. He had to start agriculture within the next year or so. Jupiter year, 12 Earth years, thought Anglesey. There was the cabin to finish and furnish. He wanted to put a water wheel, no, methane wheel, in the river to turn any of a dozen machines he had in mind. He wanted to experiment with alloyed ice, and quite apart from his need of help, why should he remain alone, the single thinking creature on an entire planet? He was a male in this body with male instincts. In the long run, his health was bound to suffer if he remained a hermit. And right now, the whole project depended on Joe's health. It wasn't right.
But I'm not alone. There are 50 men on the satellite with me. I could talk to any of them any time I wish. It's only that I seldom wish it these days. I'd rather be Joe. Nevertheless, I, the cripple, feel all the tiredness, anger, hurt, frustration of that wonderful biological machine called Joe. The others don't understand. When the ammonia gale flays open his skin, it is I who bleed.
Joe lay down on the ground, sighing. Fangs flashed in the mouth of the black beast, which humped over to lick his face. His belly growled with hunger, but he was too tired to fix a meal. Once he had the dogs trained, another pseudo would be so much more rewarding to educate. He could almost see it in the weary darkening of his brain. down there in the valley below the hill, fire and thunder as the ship came to rest, and the steel egg would crack open the steel arms, already crumbling puny works of worms, lift out the shape within and lay it on the earth. She would stir, shrieking in her first lungful of air, looking about with blank, mindless eyes. And Joe would come and carry her home, and he would feed her, care for her, show her how to walk, and it wouldn't take long. An adult body would learn those things very fast. In a few weeks, she would even be talking, be an individual, a soul.
Did you ever think, Edward Anglesey, in those days when you also walked, that your wife would be a gray, four-legged monster?
Oh, never mind that. The important thing was to get others of his kind down here, female and male. The station's niggling little plan would have him wait 2 more Earth years, and then send him only another dummy like himself, a contemptible human mind looking out through eyes which belonged rightfully to a Jovian. It was not to be tolerated. If he weren't so tired. Joe sat up, sleep drained from him as the realization entered. He wasn't tired, not to speak of. Anglesey was. Anglesey, the human side of him, who for months had slept only in catnaps, whose rest had lately been interrupted by Cornelius. It was the human body which drooped, gave up, and sent wave after soft wave of sleep down the psi-beam to Joe. Somatic tension traveled skyward. Anglesey jerked awake. He swore. As he sat there beneath the helmet, the vividness of Jupiter faded with his scattering concentration, as if it grew transparent. The steel prison which was his laboratory strengthened behind it. He was losing contact. Rapidly, with all the skill of experience, he brought himself back into phase with the neural currents of the other brain. He willed sleepiness on Joe, exactly as a man wills it on himself. And like any other insomniac, he failed. The Joe body was too hungry. It got up and walked across the compound towards its shack. The K-tube went wild and blew itself out.